Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
We're going to continue now with our series of conversations with the candidates running for governor of Massachusetts. The election is still more than a year away, but a number of people have already announced their plans to run. This week, we've heard from State Treasurer Stephen Grossman, one of five Democrats, and Republican Charlie Baker.
And today, we're speaking with Attorney General Martha Coakley. Almost 4 years ago, in a race that shocked the Democratic establishment, she lost her bid for the U.S. Senate to Scott Brown. But just a few days after that defeat, Coakley was back on the campaign trail and went on to decisively win re-election as Massachusetts Attorney General.
Martha Coakley served as District Attorney for Middlesex County and was first elected AG in 2006. She's pushed for a number of important cases, including settlements with mortgage lenders over unlawful foreclosures. She's defended the state's buffer zone law around abortion clinics that's now being challenged in the Supreme Court, and she successfully challenged the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, the first state and the only state to do that. And Martha Coakley, welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to have you.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and it's good to meet you face-to-face after all this time. And we want to invite the listeners into this conversation. Listeners, give us a call if you want to join the conversation with Martha Coakley. What are your pressing issues for the next governor? What do you want to talk to Martha Coakley about? Give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Radio Boston. Martha Coakley, let me just start with 2010. I know this has got to be getting tiring for hearing people like me ask this question.
It was a stunning
loss to Scott Brown. And here's how I want to ask the question.
Sure.
They say, you know, what doesn't kill you can make you stronger. You know, so what was the lesson there? What's the big lesson that you took away from that truly surprising loss?
Well, it is true. And I think I've admitted I've made some mistakes, but I learned from them. I did get right back to work, ran successfully. And look, it taught me a lot of things about what's important in a race, more importantly, what's important in governance and being in tune with what people want, what they need. And, you know, I went right back to work because I care about, as I did as DA, as I do as AG, as I hope to as governor. You know, the people in this state who are really struggling as the economy slowly turns around, it's not turning around for everybody or as quickly. And I want to make sure that we continue to march ahead in Massachusetts with an economy that's strong, a recovery that's strong for everybody, the folks in the middle class, the folks who are poor, who are struggling, and to make sure that we have an education system that's modernized and to make sure that our kids are being prepared for a global economy, that people who need additional training to work get it, that we fit our workforce to our jobs of tomorrow. We can do that in Massachusetts, by the way. And I'm really excited about this race. I'm excited about the opportunity to talk about those ideas and to hear from folks all over Massachusetts.
You know, if you're elected, you'll be following a pretty popular figure into the corner office, Deval Patrick. And I want to ask you just a little bit about his sort of legacy and record as governor. What's the most positive aspect of his legacy that you'd like to continue to build on?
Well, there are a couple things, actually. Governor Patrick took over the state, as I know, in the most difficult time in our memory, with the economic recession, and steered us through with great optimism and hope and courage about where we could go, how we do that together. And I think seeing him do that has encouraged me to say it's really important who follows him, because we've done so many great things. We still have challenges in this state. I know that. But I've also seen what he's been able to do by inspiring people, by working together with the business community, with the not-for-profits, with people in Massachusetts to say, we're not going to tackle every problem at the same time, but we're going to tackle some. And I think he's done a great job. I look forward to building on that.
So here's a tougher question, because I know he's from your party, political ally, but where has he fallen short? Or what would you want to improve on?
Well, and I think in looking at what we've been able to do, and I think the governor would agree, he's not been able to do everything he set out to, but that's fine. We should aim high. We should try and do as much as we can, as quickly as we can. And so as the economy has probably been slower to turn around as everybody would have liked, he's not been able to maybe do some of the financial things he wanted to do for the state. But that doesn't mean that we don't still continue to do that. Mm. I believe that we should be investing in our infrastructure, investing in our kids. And hopefully we'll be able to, in these next few years, find the way to get that environment so that we cut health care costs, we cut energy costs, we get people saying we're going to start our businesses here, we're going to stay here. We'll be able to create the environment and, with the educational piece of it, keep the state moving forward, as I think the governor has done.
We've had hearings recently. You mentioned, I'm just going to sort of jump on one of the things you mentioned, and that is how to contain, how to control health care costs. We've had hearings recently about that, and we're currently dealing with this idea of trying to peg the control of health care to no more than the rise of the state product, of the state domestic product. But how do we do it? What's your best approach for that?
Well, and I think we've made a big difference in the Attorney General's office. I was at those hearings this week, and we have come a long way, far ahead of every other state, by the way. And I think it's because of the leadership of the governor and the Senate president and the Speaker of the House, as well as the work we did showing some transparency on this market. Look, as we move forward into having a competitive market that continues to keep our cost curve down, that provides for quality health care and access, the conventional wisdom is pick two, right, out of three. But we're stubborn here in Massachusetts. We want all three. And so we're going to continue to work with health care providers, work with insurance companies, work with the not-for-profit and in the for-profit world to continue to provide transparency, competitive market, so that end users, you know what they're buying. We've already moved to, you know, more tiered products, more choice for people. And we're trying to provide that transparency that says we want value for money. We want hospitals to be providing total medical expenses and let people get the value that they deserve. We haven't had that in Massachusetts. It's not necessarily anybody's fault or intention, but we've really shown a light on where the market is, and we're going to continue to do that.
Martha Coakley, among your key issues, as you've mentioned, is expanding economic opportunity and job creation. You're facing four other Democrats for the nomination, including State Treasurer Steve Grossman, who was in here earlier this week. And even before he was in here, he took a pretty direct shot at your campaign after you launched it when he said, "I'm the only Democratic candidate who offers a lifetime of proven leadership in strengthening our economy." How do you answer that? I mean, what makes your career in law enforcement and as Attorney General the best preparation to become governor?
Well, let's talk about what we really need to do in this state, which is to create the environment that the private sector and the not-for-profit sector will be able to continue to grow and thrive. It's not about one particular business or background in business necessarily. It's about understanding the role that government plays, as I have as Attorney General, in, for instance, looking at what are the big cost drivers for businesses now that we all hear about. Healthcare costs are high. Energy costs are high. We've tackled that directly in the AG's office by dealing with the healthcare issues we just talked about. Energy costs and making sure that we have transparency in that market. We just had a big energy summit this fall to say, what do we do about moving forward on clean energy that's cost effective? And when you get everybody in the room, frankly, they're not so far apart. We can do this. We've got the best in innovation technology here. We've got good people who want to see this happen. I feel that I've got a very strong record as Attorney General in addressing those problems, bringing in the teams in my office, but also dealing with people across the spectrum to say, how do we get this done? Let's move forward on it. That's what we need to make sure that our business climate will improve. We'll have predictability. We'll have competitiveness for businesses. That's what I intend to bring to the governor's office.
Listeners, we're talking to Martha Coakley. She's the Attorney General, of course. She's also a candidate for governor, which is that race is about a year away. But we're taking an opportunity to catch up early in this contest with all of the candidates. You can join this conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Martha Coakley, I'd love to talk to you about some of the key issues that you've tackled as Attorney General. But we've got a lot of callers already online, lined up here to get into this conversation. So let's take a couple of them. Andrew is calling from Winthrop. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air with Martha Coakley.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask the Attorney General what she proposed to do on the issue of waste and fraud, specifically what's been going on with the DTA, Department of Transitional Assistance, and all the, you know, the headline news about EPT cards and details surrounding that. And I also want to ask her Does she feel that this is anecdotal, as the governor, our governor is currently quoted as saying?
Anecdotal or a real problem, or to what extent is it a real problem? Martha Coakley.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, for that question. It's an important one, and I think people in Massachusetts have to be confident that as we invest in programs, that we make certain that people have the benefits they need, that they deserve, they're entitled to, that we make sure that those tax dollars go where they're supposed to. I believe as Attorney General, we've had a good record in looking at the cases that come to us, helping some of those agencies tighten up around the benefits. We're doing that now, actually, with DTA and some of the other agencies to make sure that we see those dollars going where they should. We've brought several cases against individuals, against businesses, particularly on the EBT issue. We brought some cases just recently. We intend to do two things, and I will, as governor, make sure the dollars go where they're supposed to go, and we can do that with oversight and regulation, and we will make sure that the people who break the law, intentionally particularly, will be held accountable for that. And I think you've seen a change as some of that's come to light, and we need to stop that waste, fraud, and abuse. I think I have a good record on that since cleaning up the big dig, making sure we had no waste, fraud, and abuse as we had money in on the stimulus. We made an effort to do that with other agencies. I do know how to do that. I've got experience as a prosecutor, as a regulator, and that'll be important for the next governor to make sure that we cut way back on that while we give benefits to people who need them and deserve them.
Let's go to Philip, who's calling from Somerville. Hi, Philip. You're on the air. Good to have you.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call, and hi there, Ms. Coakley. We actually met during your campaign. I worked for one of your primary opponents, but I'm pleased to be on the phone here. Hey, you're obviously running, at least in part, on your track record as Attorney General, and at least to the layman here, my understanding is that one of the most important jobs an Attorney General has is to, you know, to kind of act like a political auditor of sorts. And with that in mind, I'm hoping you could give me a specific example of how you've used your platform as Attorney General to take on an elected official or a politician, not just a sort of entrenched interest. Yeah, I think you mentioned the big dig and Bechtel Parsons, I assume, was part of that. Or, for example, your work with Goldman Sachs, which, by the way, I approve of, but specifically around Massachusetts politics and Massachusetts entrenched interest, if you could tell me something you've done that advanced us in that way.
Well, sure. And when I came in as Attorney General, and I have a background as a district attorney, as a federal prosecutor, I started our public integrity unit to make sure that we would have dedicated investigators and prosecutors who could work those cases that would come from the Inspector General or referred to us. We've brought over 40 cases in the time I've been against members of my own party. Some are elected officials, some are state officials, for violation of ethics laws, conflict of interest laws. Some have gone to trial, some have been resolved. But I believe really strongly that that's one piece that the public deserves, is having integrity in their elected, appointed officials. I think we've been aggressive about working with the legislature to change the laws and enforcing them when we have one with the facts and when we have the law. I believe in that. I think our office has done it. I'll continue to do that. And as governor, I think, again, the public deserves to have transparency and compliance with the law by everybody who purports to serve the public.
Philip, thanks for that call. Martha Coakley, one of your accomplishments as Attorney General was to go after a number of banks for deceptive loan practices and foreclosures. You recovered hundreds of millions of dollars for investors and borrowers, and helped keep, 25,000 people or so in their homes. When it comes to the banking system and the kinds of abuses and practices we saw that led up to the meltdown of 2007, are you confident that we're better off today, that the banks learned anything?
Well, good question. And we work every single day to hold banks accountable for the agreement we reached with them with several other states. And we brought back money to Massachusetts. We still have several hundred phone calls a week from people on the verge of foreclosure. We've tried to prevent those unnecessary foreclosures. We've made a list of what some of the banks have done and not done since this mortgage settlement. But I think that it is so important to hold their feet to the fire. We're going to continue to do that. And I'm really proud of what our Home Corps does. For instance, we do not just stopping foreclosures, but we were down in Rockton yesterday with our abandoned housing initiative. We took a home that was about to be wrecked. It was a mess. And with several of the local officials, with the Register of Deeds, we were able to put some money into that house. It's now going to be on the market, new homeowner, not just a redone house, but a new home for somebody in a neighborhood that was going downhill. So the bank certainly, I believe, caused a lot of damage to the economy, to our communities. We are still digging out from that, and we will be for a while. And so we're working hard to do that. I still think the economy is not going to be turned around until this real estate market evens out and we're able to make sure people can build some equity in their homes, that they can buy homes if they can afford them, and that we have appropriate standards for the banks in being fair to people who are trying to buy a home or to refinance a home.
Let me ask you about the buffer zone law that requires protesters to stay back, 35 feet from abortion clinics. You've defended this law. It's currently the focus of a Supreme Court challenge right now. We focused a debate on this law a couple of months ago, and I want to play a cut of tape from an opponent of the law. This is Dana Cody. She's the executive director of the Life Legal Defense Foundation, who says that buffer zones infringe on people's right to free speech. Here's what she said.
If people are convicted, if they're passionate about this issue, then if they want to go outside the clinic and pray because that's how they want to express their beliefs, then they have every right to do so. So you say why, and I say why not?
So what's your response to that?
Well, you know, that's the easy sort of, this is First Amendment, it's about free speech. You know, the truth is we have competing values here. We have competing interests. I support the First Amendment, certainly. It's incredibly important. And by the way, it's important to have these debates because that is the hallmark of our democracy, is being able to let people speak freely. But it's not unlimited, the First Amendment. And there are times when other interests, public safety, and in this instance, people's constitutional rights under other sections of the Constitution, to be able to pursue activities of their own without being, as we say, interfered with. And so that is what the Supreme Court will hear. I think that it is somewhat simplistic just to say that it's just about free speech. It really is about competing social interests here, that both activities here involved have been given constitutional protection. And that's what the Supreme Court's going to look at.
Well, it'll be an interesting case for sure. Let's take a couple more calls. Caroline is calling from Charlestown. Hi, Caroline. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I have some questions in regards to foster care. I'd like to know what your take on foster care is. I have two children in my home now. They're 15. I've had them for 15 months, and the case is not moving forward very quickly. How can we change this, and what's your take on it?
I have spent a lot of my life working, protecting kids, making sure our systems work as well as possible for all kids, for kids who are in foster care, for kids who've been abused, for kids who need help. The challenges for Massachusetts, as they are for many states, is always in making sure that we place kids appropriately, that we move the system fast enough, but not too fast. Without knowing your particular circumstances, it's hard to comment, but I do know that we've learned a lot about the importance of stability for kids. It's important to move as quickly as we can to get kids in good homes where they will feel supported, where they will feel safe. And I am committed to, as we move forward in Massachusetts, making sure that we have adequate foster homes, that they're safe. It's always an issue on who can and will do that. And we can always do better. I know that there are some difficult cases in Massachusetts and will be, but I've spent a lot of my time and will as governor making sure that our kids are safe, all of our kids, including our foster children.
We have just a couple of minutes left, and there's going to be we've been talking about sort of hard policy issues. But when voters make a decision, they're also sort of getting to know someone personally, or they want to get to know someone personally. So I just want to use the last couple of minutes to just ask you some very quick sort of personal questions, not too personal, but just
sure.
to get to know Martha Coakley a little better. So let me ask you this. What does Martha Coakley do to unwind? How do you blow off steam at the end of a day? How do you tell us something about that?
Sure. Well, first of all, I love to cook. And I tell this story. When I first met my husband, I said, oh, you know, we were older when we got married. We have a 13th wedding anniversary coming up next week.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 13 great years so far. And I met him. He was in Charlestown, actually. And I said, boy, this guy's really neat. And then I realized he'd never used his kitchen. And so that's fine, because I like to cook. And otherwise, then we do takeout or we go out. I like to downhill ski. I grew up in Western Massachusetts. And in the wintertime, there wasn't much else to do but besides skate and ski. So I started on those wooden skis and bamboo poles. I love to read. We have a dog. We had two Labradors. I had to put one to sleep this summer, which broke my heart.
That's always a tough one.
But we have a dog and two cats. And right now, we're actually spending a lot of time on the campaign trail, my husband and I, and we are enjoying that. It's been really fun.
I understand you like show tunes.
I do like show tunes. And all of a sudden, everybody seems to know that in the studio.
So what's your favorite show tune? We wanted to ask you this ahead of time so we could get it queued up. I don't think we have it queued up. No.
Oh, dear.
No, says director Amory Sievertson. But what is your favorite?
Well, that's an impossible question, but I'll give you one answer, because our high school musical was Man of La Mancha, and there's great music from that, and it is not The Impossible Dream, but I love the song that Dulcinea sings about I was born in a ditch. You know, I can't tell an army which side. I don't know who my father is. It's a great, great song.
All right. Well, listeners, you're just going to have to imagine that we're going out on that great, great song. Martha Coakley is the Attorney General for Massachusetts and one of the Democrats running for governor. Thank you so much for coming
in. My pleasure.
We hope you'll be back in the months ahead.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
And listeners, to hear all the conversations with the gubernatorial candidates so far, go to our website, WBUR.org, and you can call in tomorrow with your questions for the lone independent candidate, healthcare businessman Evan Falcher. Stay with us. Coming up, Camelot's Court inside the Kennedy White House with author Robert Dalek. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.